Tonight's topic is about tabernacles and what they signify, and our tabernacle and God's tabernacle. Just kind of a study of this word tabernacle. And a tabernacle is a tent. It's like a temporary place to live. It's something that's mobile, and you stay in it, and you probably are on the move following maybe your flocks, or trying to nomadic people. Tabernacle is as opposed to a house. Like, a house is where you're permanently staying, but a tabernacle is much more of a temporary, like a transient type place to stay. In Hebrews 11, it's talking about Abraham. Verse 8 says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So this is probably the most important point that we can get from tabernacles, that this is temporary because we're not satisfied with what we have here. And we're looking for a city, and this city, as opposed to the tabernacle, has foundations. You don't pour a concrete pad for your tent. You just pitch it wherever it is because it's going to be moved shortly. But the city that God has for us is a permanent place. So we know that the world is temporary, and everything we have in the world is temporary. And so we can think of that as like our tabernacle. Genesis 23:3 says, "Abraham stood up from before his dead," this was when Sarah had died, "and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight." So what we get from this is that Abraham was a stranger, a sojourner, and he didn't even own enough land. He didn't own any land even to bury his wife on. So often when you're staying in tents, it's because you don't own the land. If you owned the land, then you would build a house on it. But in the same way, we, you know, this world is not ours, and it's temporarily given to us to pitch our tent on, but eventually it's going to pass away and we're going to move on to a land that we do own. So as I've already mentioned, tents are for things that are on the move. In Numbers 9, it's describing how the children of Israel moved through the wilderness. Numbers 9:18. "At the commandment of the Lord, the children of Israel journeyed, and at the commandment of the Lord they pitched. As long as the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they rested in their tents. And when the cloud tarried long upon the tabernacle, many days, then the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and journeyed not. And it was so when the cloud was a few days upon the tabernacle, according to the commandment of the Lord, they abode in their tents, according to the commandment, and according to the commandment of the Lord, they journeyed. And it was so when the cloud abode from even unto the morning, and that the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they journeyed. Whether it was by day or by night that the cloud was taken up, they journeyed. Or whether it were 2 days, or a month, or a year that the cloud tarried upon the tabernacle, remaining thereon, the children of Israel abode in their tents and journeyed not, but when it was taken up, they journeyed. At the commandment of the Lord they rested in the tents, and at the commandment of the Lord they journeyed. They kept the charge of the Lord at the commandment of the Lord by the hand of Moses." So the idea we get from here is, they didn't know how long they were going to stay at any given place. the cloud could move up, and they'd have to pack up and follow it. That's why they didn't have houses. They didn't start, you know, cutting stones and start building up houses, because who knew how long that they were going to be at that any given spot. Well, in the same way, we have to travel light, and not anchor your, don't drive the tent stakes too deep into the ground, because you may need to pull them out again and move. And whether that means in our death and going to be with the Lord and leaving the earth entirely, or whether it means given a new job, a new place to be, a different work in the world, we are in tabernacles, and we need to follow where God's cloud, pillar of cloud or pillar of fire go, whether it's day or night. Now, this passage doesn't specifically mention tabernacles, but it talks about sojourning. 2 Kings 8:1. Then spake Elisha unto the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, Arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall come upon the land 7 years. And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and journeyed in the land of the Philistines 7 years. And it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her land. So what I get from this is that when you're sojourning somewhere, it means you're not planning on staying there. She went there because that's where she needed to be at the time, because there was a famine in Israel. But you see, at the end of that, she wanted to come back. And we don't want this earth to be somewhere we're planning on staying, because no matter what where you are, that plan is not gonna go through. At some point, we're gonna leave the world. Amen. And I wonder if maybe the biggest part of this is the attitude. Like, the attitude of someone living in a tent is different. And, you know, anything they have, the attitude is, well, I may have to move on from here in not very long. And we want to keep that attitude as well. So 2 Corinthians 5 talks about tabernacles, and as they relate specifically to our physical bodies. Our bodies are a tabernacle, a tent that our spirit, our soul is staying in temporarily. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. In other words, we leave our tabernacle, we're not just going to be out exposed to the elements. We do have a house. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given us the earnest of the Spirit, or the down payment, the guarantee. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Now that's the same whether we're in a tabernacle or a building of God. Because we want to be accepted of God no matter where we are. That's constant. But the difference is that here in this tabernacle, there's lots of inconveniences. It's not warm when it's cold out, and it's not cool when it's hot out. You know, there's less protection. You know, there's a burden to carry of, you know, bringing everything along with you. It also means that you can't have as much things in your tent because you might have to break it down and carry them on to the next destination. And there are many things about our bodies that are inconvenient. I think that's an understatement. But the body there are many things that cause trouble and difficulty. And, you know, that I think that's obvious to all of us. So we're looking forward, though, to our new body, which is perfectly prepared, and it's not a temporary place either. We know that the tents that we're in are wearing out, but our house is not going to wear out. 2 Peter 1:13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me." So the point of this one is that he says it's short. It's shortly I must put off this tabernacle. And there are some peoples who are nomadic and they live in tents all their lives, but in general, it seems like tents are like a temporary thing, and that eventually people will, you know, build a house and some place that they can stay more permanently. Well, our tabernacles are a temporary thing too, and that's we're thankful for that, actually. Okay, now I want to talk a little bit about God's tabernacle. God said to Moses, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it." So God wanted the Israelites to make him this sanctuary, this tabernacle. And I think it's symbolic that that it was a temporary place, like a tent, that God lived with them. It's almost like he was there until they turned away from him, and then God left. I don't know. He didn't leave his people, but he wasn't welcomed by his people at all times. And I think there's a difference here between in the Old Testament when God would dwell with them, and in the New Testament when God is permanently residing in and with us. Exodus 33:5. "For the Lord had said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, ye are a stiff-necked people. I will come up into the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Horeb. And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out unto the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp." So God and his people were not always on good terms, and he had to be kind of far away from them, just because God says, you know, he'll come up in the midst of them and consume them because of their wickedness. He had to be separate from them. But it wasn't going to be like this forever. Because God told David, "When thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son." And, of course, prophetic language talking about Christ. This tabernacle wasn't permanent, but there was a house that was going to be built by the Son of David. And Solomon built a physical house, but Jesus built the house that was permanent, that was going to replace this tabernacle. Amen. No longer is God going to be kind of temporarily with us, but he's going to be permanently have a place, and we'll be in his land, and he will be with us. Amen. Hebrews 9 talks about this. In verse 6, It says, now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. So in that phrase, it means that as long as it was standing, and by using that phrase, it implies that, yeah, it didn't stand forever. It was a temporary situation. Then it says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So Christ brought in a different type of tabernacle. This isn't the temporary one that was on earth. This is Jesus dealt with heavenly things and eternal things, and he had a finished work, not a temporary or ongoing work like the old tabernacle had. And in Ephesians 2:20, it says that we as the Gentiles are brought in and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Amen. And we are that new temple that replaced the tabernacle. We're the solid the building that's built on a foundation of apostles and prophets, something that's not going to be temporary and not going to be moved. We are God's dwelling place forever. Okay, now I'd like to look at the Feast of Tabernacles. In Leviticus 23:39, it says, also in the 15th day of the 7th month, when ye have gathered in the fruit of the land, ye shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. On the first day shall be a Sabbath, and on the 8th day shall be a Sabbath. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and willows of the brook. And ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. And ye shall keep it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. Ye shall celebrate it in the 7th month. Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths, that your generation may know that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So these booths are temporary dwelling places, tents made out of, they were supposed to take branches of trees, different kinds of trees, and make these temporary houses to live in for a week. And it was to remind them that they were sojourning and they were traveling through the wilderness as God brought them to the promised land. Well, right now is the time when we're traveling through the wilderness. And we want to remember, too, that we're currently en route to the promised land. Mm-hmm. And this was like a picture that God gave them of a temporary place to live. And even once they made it to the promised land, you know, Hebrews talks about, you know, there remains a rest. And, you know, afterward, he talks about another day. And if he's talking about another day, then they must not have made it to the rest yet. The promised land was not the final rest. And so really, We're still dwelling in booths. Mm-hmm. Now, in Nehemiah, they found out about this feast. And I'll read this account in Nehemiah 8:14. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, "Go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written." So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the street of the water gate and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great gladness. So somehow they had missed this major part of one of the three feasts ever since Joshua all the way up through, I don't know how it happened. Apparently, they didn't do much of reading in the book of the law when they finally did read it in Nehemiah. But there they did it. They celebrated this feast and they remembered being in these temporary housing. But then what stuck out to me is that it says, and there was very great gladness. Now, I'm sure that wasn't as convenient or comfortable as their houses, but they were rejoicing in this feast. And in the previous passage I read, it talks about, you know, thick trees, willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. Now, I think it's rejoicing because we're thinking about our house as a temporary place, and everything that's inconvenient and uncomfortable about this house is not permanent. Aren't you glad we're not in permanent places? The tabernacle isn't the end goal for us. We can rejoice thinking about this world being temporary, and that we do have this house which is from heaven. Okay, and then one more passage about this. Zechariah 14:16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And here it's talking about the other nations coming up and keeping this feast with the Israelites. And we too get to share in the feast. The nations around them didn't have the history where their fathers went through the wilderness and dwelt in tabernacles. So I think this is typifying that we're talking about a different type of sojourning, that it's not just a history lesson, because we as Gentiles can partake in it too. Because we are sojourning in this world. I also will point out that back in Leviticus it says, "Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths." So this was specifically supposed to be only for the people of Israel. And then here in this prophecy it talks about all the other nations coming and keeping it too. So we get adopted into the family of Israel.
Amen.
Okay, and then as I've alluded to many times already, we have permanent houses. 2 Corinthians 5 talked about our house which is from heaven. In Deuteronomy 6:10, it says, "And ye shall it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. Then when thou have eaten and be full, beware lest thou forget the Lord." But he's talking about all these things that were made for them. And our houses are prepared for us in heaven. And we know everything is permanent there. We don't even have to build it. And all these things that he mentions are things that you don't have when you're traveling. The houses and wells, you don't dig well because you might move on from that place shortly. Vineyards and olive trees, those take years to get good enough to get fruit from them. So these are things that you get when you're settled down and when we're in the promised land. And then Hebrews 13:12 says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." So we are temporary, we're pilgrims here, but we are looking for one, a continuing city, mm-hmm. one to come. And so the exhortation would be then that we keep the right mindset to know that we are in tabernacles and to be aware that anything that happens or that we have in this world is temporary. All the joys of the world and all the sorrows of the world are temporary. And we do have a house from God. All right. Does anybody have any comments to make on this?
Just a thought that the more clearly we can see those things which are far off, it enables us and strengthens us to be ready to let go of the things of this world. And like you were saying, when we dwell in tents and when we're nomads, we have to be able to get up and go. And when we can see our heavenly dwelling place, permanent place, our final dwelling place with God, then this changes the allure of our sight from the things of this world to the things of the next. And we start desiring the heavenly things more than the earthly things. And we can see that these tabernacles that we are living in, these temporary tabernacles, they are dissolving away. A tent is not as permanent as a house is. It has its problems. This body that we're in, it's earthly tabernacles. And we know through scriptures it will dissolve away one day. And when it's dissolved away, then we're going to be clothed upon with Christ, which is our permanent dwelling place. You know, that was good. The children of Israel, they were eating manna for 40 years. They had to be satisfied with manna for 40 years. But they knew that they were coming to a land flowing with milk and honey. They knew the grapes of Eshcol. They knew of the pomegranates and all the fruits that they came from, that they brought in. They knew there was something better on the other side of the Jordan.
And then you have the type of Solomon, the son of David, building the temple. Once mm-hmm. they were in the promised land, the son of David builds the temple, the permanent dwelling place. Which wasn't permanent, but was a type of the permanent one. Mm-hmm. Now Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us.
Thinking about us Gentiles participating in the Feast of Tabernacles, got me thinking about our hard times in this world. we're reminded that we're in tabernacles. What if we, like the people in Nehemiah's day, rejoiced in the Feast of Tabernacles? What if God could give us grace to rejoice in our insecurity in this life? It was a feast. I'm hoping that you will reveal that more and understand that.
Thank you for everyone for your comments. Now